We'll be talking this morning a little bit about printing, making a text to appear in a paper or a book. Printing has a long history behind it. We just print out all kinds of things without just recognizing maybe that, but it really has a long and interesting history behind it. Printing goes back to the duplication of images on clay by means of stamps. They just stamped things and duplicated images. And this goes back to 5,000 years ago. However, what we can call the world's earliest printer goes back to the year 200 AD. It printed flowers and it was a colored printer. So it printed flowers in three colors. And now, if you think that that kind of a printer was really inexpensive, it was really not expensive at all, this is true, but you cannot say the same at all about the material they printed on. The printer was basically an engraved cube, but today we use plain, simple paper, white paper all the time, but they used pure silk to print on at that day. Imagine your bulletins, for example, this morning were printed out on silk. I bet the board of managers wouldn't like that. But the Christian tradition has an important image, a very important image, that was printed on another kind of fabric. Not silk, but on another kind of fabric. And that important image is called the Shroud of Turin. I'm sure some of you heard of it. The Shroud of Turin. It's a length of linen cloth bearing an imprint of a man that is believed by some Christians to be the burial shroud of Jesus of Nazareth. In 1898, finally, a photographer was allowed to take a photo to that shroud. When he took the pictures back, he was startled by the visible image of the negative plate, implying that the shroud itself is effectively a negative of some kind. The image of what they call the man of the shroud, the image of the man of the shroud seems to match the biblical description of the death of Jesus with the wounds and the traces of blood on that shroud. However, scientists date the shroud back only to the Middle Ages. The current Pope and his predecessor described the shroud as an icon. I'll pause here. I think, even if that kind of shroud was the true burial shroud of Jesus, isn't it too bad that the image we have today of God, after worshiping him for so many years, the image we have of him today is virtually just a duplication by means of stamping. Isn't it too bad that we are using almost a 5,000 years old technology to be able to see whom we worship? Is this the best we can do? Practically, it's a negative of a negative. And more importantly, doesn't this poor printing of Jesus' image speak for what we know about our God? What we know about God, after all, has been passed down to us from one generation to another. And if you think of it, it is one negative to another negative to another negative. Can't we have the original presentation of the God we worship? Can't we have the original presentation of the God we believe in? The modern world of retina screens and displays and HD resolution must find us very boring, especially when we are holding on to such a blurry image and a cloudy understanding. The people around us must say, what they know about God can't be any better than the image of the man of the shroud. The world is moving on for sure. The world is moving on indeed. And we are still somehow stuck in the past. This is how they look at us. The first printer that we just talked about, that was invented in the year 200 AD, not far at all from the time zone of the Gospels, is today an incredible machine that can do fabulous things. On January the 7th, people of Morrisburg were invited to meet and say hello to Ultimaker 2. Ultimaker 2 is a 3D printer and it's now available in the local library. With this kind of technology, you can print 3D models of just about any and everything under the sun. This is today what has come out of that printer, which started at the year 200 AD. You can print a 3D object or model of anything under the sun. You can print, for example, an iPhone case or card holder. You can print gear wraps. Or really, you can print something much more useful, like prosthetics, like artificial body arts. Artificial body arts can cost $17 if you print them in a 3D machine. Or you can print, in fact, you can make a model replica of an expensive car, like this 1960 Aston Martin in 1/3 ratio. I would love to do that. Then you can crash it and throw it away just for fun, like how the makers of the James Bond did. In fact, this was James Bond car that they used in the movie, and they just crashed it and threw it away. In short, really, my point is, this is how far printing has traveled. This is how far printing has traveled. And the question that the world is dying to ask us, I can almost hear them here, they would be asking us, okay, how far have you traveled in printing, I mean in making what you believe in to appear clearly in a paper or a book? How far have you traveled in making that clear for people so they can see and believe and take another step forward? How far have you traveled? Have you gone beyond a negative image on a shroud at all? Or are you still there? Sadly, are you still there? Let's have a look. In fact, the history of making God known, I mean the history of God's revelation, has a similar beginning to that of printing that we talked of. The first revelation of God was made when His commandments, as we all know, were engraved on two tablets of stone, and these stones were given to Moses. And later on, more of God was revealed through the law. Through these commandments and the law, people of the Old Testament encountered a God who despises evil and loves what is good. But there were still lots to be learned about God. Okay? Moses would put a veil on his face every time he wanted to speak to the people after God had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. People realized that, and they learned then that they are encountering a different God. A different God than what other nations are worshipping, and a different God than the gods they used themselves to worship before. So, they called him the true God. This is the name we find more often in the Bible, the true God. They called him the creator of heavens and earth. But there were still lots to be learned about God. When Moses asked about the name of the God of their fathers, he asked God, he told him, "Tell me what's your name so I can tell the people." And the answer was, "Yod Hey Vav Hey. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, Yahweh. This is my name." When they experienced slavery in Egypt, he brought them out of Egypt. And when they had no way to go forward, he opened the sea for them. They were very happy, but there were still lots to be learned about God. When they were hungry, he fed them, and when they were thirsty, he gave them water. In the night, he was a light to them, and in the day, he was a shelter from the hot sun. When they did wrong, he punished them, and when they repented, he forgave them. But there were still lots to be learned about God. When they asked for him, he answered, and this is exactly what we read this morning in the responsive reading. It said, they cried to the Lord, and he answered them. And they were very happy that he was an answering God. When they forgot him, the God let them go their own way, and all what they harvested was pain and suffering. When they returned to him, he returned to them. But there were still lots to be learned about God. When they asked for a king to rule them, just like all the nations around them, he did not refuse or push it back. When the king walked righteously before him, the whole kingdom prospered and triumphed. And when he disobeyed God, when the king disobeyed God, the whole nation experienced depression and brokenness. When the kings were conquered with fear and did not trust the Lord anymore and did not ask for his help at all, they were defeated and they were taken. All the people were taken to exile. When by the rivers of Babylon they sat down and wept, saying, if I forgot you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. God listened to them, listened to their cry, and brought them back to Jerusalem, and built with them the temple and the walls of the city. But there were still lots to be learned about God. When they experienced deafening silence for a long, long time, for many, many years, and when they did not hear any word of him, God sent his prophecy, saying, see, this is the last book in the Old Testament. He said, see, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And quickly that happened. When the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, when John the Baptist came, people repented. When he shouted, saying, the kingdom of God has come near, people came to be washed and baptized. But there were still lots to be learned about him. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. A voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. God said, this is my Son, and we need to stop here. In 1984, 3D printing was invented for the very, very first time. And what you could do then is, what we can do now even is, you can turn a simple drawing, a simple, flat, plain drawing, you can turn it into a 3D dimensional object. When God declared that Jesus to divinity is like a son to a father, meaning that they have the same essence, all what we learned about God in the past, all kinds of revelations that we have encountered, all kinds of stories that we have read, all kinds of experiences that the people of the Old Testament have been through, all this was turned into a 3D reality. Really, all God's revelation was turned into a personalized reality, into a person. All what we know about God, the laws, the commandments, his announcements, his revelations, now we can see them in real life in the person of Jesus. The biblical announcement that what we know about God, I mean all the revelation of God, the biblical announcement to tell us that God's revelation became a person is very big in the New Testament. If you open the Gospel of John, just the first page in that Gospel, you will read that announcement that God's revelation has become a 3D now. This is how it says. It says, and the Word became flesh. It has been materialized in a person. The biblical announcement that what we see in Jesus Christ is the original presentation of the God we worship and believe in, and not any kind of a negative, this announcement is found 14 chapters after this announcement when Philip asked the Lord and he said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And we know the answers for the answer for that, don't we? Jesus answered him and said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now we see. Now we know for sure that we're not looking at an imprint in a shroud. Now we see. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you know, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? And if you go over the text that we read this morning, you will know that the puzzlement we see on the faces of the three disciples of Peter and John and James on the Transfiguration Mountain is simply a big moment. It's a moment when all this came to be realized. It's the moment they were puzzled because they just realized that the God they have been worshiping for a long, long time and looking his face in an imprint, in some kind of a shroud, metaphorically speaking, now they can look him in the eye. Now he is a person. And they were just amazed about that. It is the moment that not only three young men made that realization. In fact, the whole people of God realized that at that point that there is nothing left for us to learn about God. What we see is God. There is nothing left for us to see or to learn about God. There is an infinite truth in front of us, and this infinite truth is for us to be experienced in Jesus, through Jesus, and with Jesus. It's there now, and we need to experience it. What we have in Luke 9 is one of the earliest encounters humanity ever had with the person of God, or as the Bible puts it, the glory of God. Finally, yes, finally, there is a face to the name, and it's a true face, and it's a true person that we can look in the eye, talk to, and have an experience with. On that mountain, the history of God's revelation, all that kind of a long history, the history of God's revelation, starting from the days of the clay, starting from the days of engraving on the stones, starting from the days of the Ten Commandments, that kind of history was represented with the figure of, with the person of Moses standing there. And the development of that revelation, the rest of that revelation, is represented as well through the person of Elijah. And then we have Jesus, the ultimate revelation, the person revelation, the God in flesh. So really, you can imagine that the mountain of Transfiguration, after all, at that moment was a kind of museum. You go there and you could see all the history of God's revelation to his people, laws, commandments, different incidents, experiences, and finally the ultimate point where God came in the body, where the incarnated God is visible for us to see. We have Jesus, the Son, the ultimate and final revelation of the divinity, God in flesh. When we see those three persons on the top of the Transfiguration Mountain, we can understand at that point, we can understand how far God's revelation has traveled. Yes, it has traveled a long, long journey. So many people out there believe that Everything in this life happens gradually. We learn gradually. We learn to speak gradually. We learn to walk gradually. We learn about technology gradually. Printing happens gradually. The technology of printing happens gradually. But we expect that we can know everything and all the things about God in one moment. That's it. They don't allow for any kind of gradual revelation. Yes, there was a gradual revelation, and it started with two engraved stones, and finally we have the ultimate point in the person of Jesus Christ. When we look at him, we're not looking at any kind of a negative. When we're passing the story to our children and grandchildren, we're not passing any kind of a negative of a negative. Jesus is true. Jesus is alive. He is actively and vividly present. He is as true as absolute truth can be. He is as alive as life eternal can be. This is the God we believe in. So most of the time, we receive invitations to meet Ultimaker too, to meet technology. I think the Bible has an open and clear invitation to meet the ultimate maker, the maker of heavens and earth. Let's pray, please.